We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe Santoliquito does not get the vote of the people in the first round here. He is from Philly Voice. And he's been, boy, Joe, you've worked for just about everybody, right? Have you not? You even worked for us for a while, right?
Yeah.
Then you decided to get paid?
I was getting paid when I was here, but yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine how much that was. And anyway, Joe, let's get right to it.
Yes, sir.
Stunning story yesterday. Oh,
thank you.
Really the first time. Mm-hmm. Anyone has really written anything truly negative about Carson Wentz and the way he has conducted himself over the last 3 years here. What put you on to the story? Why now?
Just an innocuous question. After a loss and just coming out and just basically asking, you know, how long does Mike Rowe stay here? And I was corrected and said, you know, Joe, it's not Grow, it's Wentz.
Oh.
You know, he's changing the plays. He's getting out of the offense that we run, the offense that we like to run. He says, you know, there's a push to, you know, with Foles and the RPOs and what we like doing. And, you know, it's created some friction. I mean, guys want to see the ball. They don't, you know. So that's where, I mean, it just, and it was one thing after another, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there.
All right, well, that's fascinating because I thought that was the best part of the story. The fact that the offense was run differently with Carson, and it was run differently because he was pushing back, that he wasn't accepting what the offense was, but Foles was, right? And that was an issue. There was friction when Carson was playing because of that. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And the thing is, the further feedback was that this was run differently when Reich and DeFilippo were here because they would convince, took some convincing, but they would convince Carson Wentz to run the play. Run the play, Carson, the completion is there. I'm telling you, the completion's there. Run the play. And that was a little by play here and there, going back and forth with each other, with things like that. But eventually, though, from all understanding and from the things I was told, that you know, Carson gave in. And when he gave in, things were fine. Even, I'll tell you what, a couple of interesting points this past season. You can see in the transcripts. Doug Peterson addressed this a few times. I mean, there's a lot of things in here that aren't, and I stated in the story, that aren't revelations. They're not. They've been there.
Well, they aren't once you place them in the context that you did.
Okay. Right? And that's fair. And
so
that's
you're
fair.
Saying that but, there were suggestions by Peterson that Wentz wasn't running the offense he wanted him to.
Well, Doug basically said, and it's in the transcripts again, that, you know, when Carson trusts the offense, boom, things work.
Right. Okay. So that part of it. So why didn't he? I mean, he's been here 3 years now. Is this part of the concept that his ego got big and he thinks he knows more than the guys that are coaching him?
That I can't speak to because I'm not in the head of Carson Wentz.
Okay.
But from sources around him sometimes, they were just like, you know, they think it's Carson's show, hence the selfishness.
Okay.
Hence, you know, the terms of, you know, the tunnel vision. And consequently, though, and again, what I think everybody agrees with, and I think you guys would agree with it, too, it bothered people, a number of people, that he came into this season not completely healthy, that he should have taken a little bit more time to come back closer to 100%. He was not 100% healthy. I mean, none of us here are doctors, but you guys saw what I saw this past season, didn't you not?
Well, that he was selfish.
Well, in the sense that it's about me and it's so much about me that I got to get back. He was so hell-bent on getting back and the making his mark that guess what? You not being completely who you are hurts not only yourself, which it did, and he admitted this on Monday. He said the possibility that my knee led to my back, he didn't rule that out. Also, a less than 100% Carson Wentz was to produce a less than 100% offense and a less 100% Philadelphia Eagles. The best Carson Wentz makes for the best Eagles.
There's a point in here now where it got really interesting to me that Wentz told his coaches he didn't want Foles stuff called for him. Is that a jealousy issue? Why would he say that to his coaches? I don't want the calls that you make for Foles for me. I don't get that.
I think that dealt with, to be more specific with you, that dealt with the RPOs.
Yeah.
And, again, I'm not in the head of Carson Wentz, but, again, what I was told was, you know, very simple. Here's the offense that works. Here's the offense that works for us. Here's the offense that won the Super Bowl. And if the offense worked so proficiently with Foles, and I think, again, it's something there, not a revelation here. The eye test told you the difference in how that offense ran with Foles and how it ran with Wentz, right? Didn't it run, let me ask you, didn't it run a little bit more seamlessly? Didn't you get a feel?
Statistically, it can prove. You're right, it ran better.
Yeah,
they were 4-2 with Foles, and they were 5-6 with Wentz.
And they won some crucial games against some very, very good defenses with Foles. And here's the other deal, is that if Foles can run the offense that well, and I said in the story, Wentz is the better quarterback.
Did you go in with a preconceived idea that Wentz was a problem?
Well, I will say this. Through a couple of years, I heard some things and some rumblings that Carson may not. Now, again, going back to the story, never said he was reviled. You know, yes, Foles is universally loved. Wentz isn't. Okay, I never said he was universally reviled. No, Carson Wentz for the most part is a pretty good guy.
That's what I think.
Yeah, and that's I never said he wasn't.
Right.
Let's also get that straight.
No, but if you finish the story, you come away going, oh, the guy's kind of a jerk.
Well, I'll tell you what. I showed you something prior to going on the air, and this is someone from Fargo.
Yeah.
Who used the words, I believe, and you read it.
Well, why don't you tell the audience? You're saying that he's big-timing the media that work in Fargo, North Dakota,
who covered him
for years when he played there and where he was born.
Yeah, and who knows him better than us? And I think the words, if you recall reading in that, cold and distant were used.
Yeah, I can't relate to that. We're the flagship station. He comes on our show. Mm-hmm. He's cordial. Mm-hmm. He's cooperative. Mm-hmm. He's impressive in the way he speaks. He's very bright. I'm not seeing this guy. Here's where you started to lose me as someone who kind of knows him. And gotcha. I'm not pretending I know him well. He bullied Mike Grell. I can't picture Carson Wentz bullying anybody.
Well, when you're the franchise quarterback and you're dealing with two veteran entrenched coaches in Frank Wright and John DeFilippo, there's only so much pushback they're willing to take and so much pushback you're able to get away with. And apparently, again, and I think the proof is in the pudding, there was far greater pushback this year that he was able to get away with Grow than he was with, you know, and this all also came... Everybody that spoke to him, even after the story came out, you know, I know a lot of people in the NFL, believe it or not, I know people that I've covered in high school that are now very established NFL people and NFL players. And the deal was, Groh's a pretty good coach. Mike Groh's a pretty good coach. And some of the stuff that was happening here with Wentz, you know, just, again, eye test and what they saw and the times they saw the Eagles. That comes in the eye test.
We're talking to Joe Santoliquito of Philly Voice, who wrote a very controversial story yesterday about Carson Wentz and a number of detractors that he has developed in the locker room. Joe, I'm really curious. The bullying of his offensive coordinator, Mike Grell, how did that come about? How would he bully him? Would he say, I won't run that play? Would he argue with them when they were putting together a game plan? What was the actual process of him bullying his boss?
Not running what was called. Again, I'm not in that room to turn around and say exactly what happened there.
Sure.
But not running what was called and not trusting what was called. And again, I think that speaks for itself.
Did Doug Peterson have any say in that?
I don't know about that either. You know, and I also state, Doug had a fine line to walk here.
Right.
And Doug, in the past, Doug would get on his guys, you know, what's going on over here?
Right.
And those things would get corrected. Some things got corrected, some things didn't this past season. The big thing with Carson this year is, again, you saw his eyes all over the place. He had really no, his feet were, he didn't have the base, throwing off the base that he was used to throwing. You see,
right.
A lot of incompletions were low.
Right.
And again, that came from, you know, DeFilippo and Reich used to get to him. They used to. He would listen to them far better than apparently he listened to Mike Rowe.
He tuned out the new guys.
Yeah,
right?
and that's what he should have, you know, like I said, from all accounts that I've gotten, Mike Rowe's a good coach.
What do you mean by he played favorites?
Again, I'll refer to the eye test in terms of the times he went to Zach Ertz as opposed to going to other guys. A number of number of sources said, you know what, we go in the games and just like, hey, I don't know how many touches I'm going to get the ball, despite the fact that, you know, this is designed and that's designed. So there would be some questions. And again, you're dealing with a group of things here. You're dealing with Carson Wentz, again, that is not 100%. Doesn't necessarily trust himself. Came in with some insecurities. And the greatest security blanket is Zach Ertz. Now, Zach Ertz is a Hall of Famer. Or a Hall of Famer in waiting, I think.
Right.
Zach Ertz had a great career. You know, he had a great season. But...
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you when I read the story.
Mm-hmm.
Until the numbers came out mm-hmm. where Wentz targeted Ertz 9.6 times a game
mm-hmm.
and Foles targeted him 9.3, almost the same. So what eye test are you using? The actual stats indicate he basically, both quarterbacks used him the same way. He was more effective with Wentz, but he was targeted as much with Foles as he was with Wentz.
The other side of it is he seemed to trust other players other than Ertz.
Can you name those players?
Well, I think he certainly seemed to trust Alshon Jeffrey and certainly Nelson Aguilar.
Foles did.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, Jeffrey, Wentz targeted Jeffrey 7.4 times a game, and Foles targeted him 7.
Okay. Well, stats.
There's no difference. Just the stats don't support what your premise is.
No, but the eye test tells you that there were times where Foles threw to Jeffrey, were times when Wentz might not have thrown to Alshon Jeffrey.
You mean the situation within a game?
The situation within a game.
Possible, but there's not a stat that could prove that. Joe, here's the biggest problem I think that the fans are having with the story right now. No one is ever named. Anyway, these mm-hmm. are all anonymous people mm-hmm. speaking to you only on that behalf, mm-hmm. right? None of them would agree to ever say these things publicly.
Well, here's the deal with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is a pretty powerful figure in that locker room. I think we all agree with that.
Right.
I was told Carson Wentz probably has the power to pretty much cut anybody in there with the exception of Jason Peters, Malcolm Jenkins, and Fletcher Cox.
Well, that's true of any franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and that's right. Fine. But think about this. Do you really want to throw yourself publicly out there in a little bit in a sense where, you know, and I am certainly not going to, what's the saying? I'm not going to leave my guys on the beach, so to speak.
No,
if these guys were trusting and telling me things, I'm not going to turn around and betray their trust in any way. And my point with that is this. Talking to some schmo like me, the last thing I want to do is jeopardize anyone's livelihood or career.
No, I understand you got to protect sources. Al, you were in the same business.
Yes.
We were all in the writing business for a long time.
Yeah.
Are you fine with a story that is entirely based on anonymous people?
No.
You're not.
Okay.
Tell Joe why you don't.
There's just too many. I don't doubt that they're absolutely true quotes.
Mm-hmm.
No,
but
I don't either.
But I have to have somebody on the record.
Yeah.
I just have to have somebody to say the other side, even to come in and like the other side of the story.
Okay.
I mean, but I don't understand how it, and it may not even be your problem, but if you come to me, I'm going to say, I just got to have the other, before we go forward with this, I have to have a response.
Okay. And I'll say this, and putting this together, the mistake that I made, mistake that I'll admit, is not giving the Eagles ample notice. And I called them at 8:20 on Monday.
Yesterday. Wow.
Not giving them ample notice.
And that the story came out at 9.
Yeah, and the story came out at 9. Ooh. Yes, that is a fault. That is a fault. But I will say this, and you saw this.
Yes, I did.
His agent was contacted.
That was with a lot more time than just
that was with a little bit more. That was a little bit more time, not a lot more time.
How much more? I didn't actually see when you contacted.
It was his agent. It was actually the office was contacted 2 weeks ago. Never got a reply, and then later on in the week, and then finally at 10 o'clock last night, you saw the text.
Yeah.
That the individual got back to me.
Okay. And he is not going to comment on the story. Is that correct?
You saw the text. Yeah.
Okay. He is not going to comment on the story. What do you make of the response, the reaction to it? Does it worry you that so many players went on the record saying you were wrong?
No, it doesn't. But, you know, after we get off the air, I'll show you some other interesting text from some other interesting people that I also spoke to.
So you're getting some support from people that we would not think you would get it from.
Yes, and I'll also say this. Actually, I lost my train of thought here for a second. No one actually said, you know, what was in there was wrong. You know, like I said, the fault that I have again is not contacting the Eagles sooner than I did. Right. And again, I'm accountable.
Yeah.
And that's where the fault lies with me. I am the sole person behind the story, behind collecting this information. Marcus Hayes did a very interesting story today that Marcus and I spoke about. Marcus says, you know, you're down there Monday. You had an opportunity to talk to Carson. And I said, well, things were still kind of on hold until I got a substantial piece of this
right. That
came Monday night.
Right.
And this thing might not have gone and probably wouldn't have gone if I didn't get that substantial piece, that substantial last hammer, you know, to bang this thing home. That basically just saying, this is what I'm hearing, you know, is this true or not? And that was all validated. I mean, the story's about the unheard voices in that locker room. And there are unheard voices. Yesterday, after this came out, what people, and I'll show you off the air, confirmed to me was, yes, there was a false faction and there was a Wentz faction. Right. And yes, Joe, it was admitted to me, you know, yeah, guys were pissed off. Guys were pissed off. But you look at the whole story, right? And I say it a number of times. People want this guy to succeed. I can't. It's like,
but that's not the story you wrote. The story you wrote, in essence, says the Eagles are in dangerous territory here. They're going to sign the wrong quarterback. That's the story you wrote.
I disagree. I think that's
no.
Your
that is the story you wrote. There's no other reason to write that story other than the Eagles are about to make a huge mistake. There's a lot of people that think that it's the wrong quarterback.
Al, at the bottom of the story, I say that these things.
But that's not the bottom of the story. The top of the story. The reason for the story to run. The only reason for the story to run is to say that the Eagles are about to make a huge mistake. There's elements in the locker room that think the other quarterback should be here.
I won't dispute the fact that there's elements in that locker room that people think the other guy should be. I won't dispute that.
Well, that's the story then. When you have a team about to enter an offseason that has to make a decision on the quarterback, the only purpose of this story is to say they're about to make a huge mistake. That's it.
That's what I took from it.
Okay. Well, that's,
but, you know, that's, you know, a big story. That's a great story.
It isn't said in the story.
No, but that's
so
the
well.
Reason
but
for that. That's why
I read it. You know, honestly, and I went, wow, if this is true, maybe I do want Foles.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's kind of what you came away from.
That's why you have a blockbuster story saying that the Philadelphia Eagles are about to make a huge mistake. Part of their locker room thinks they got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Well, there's...
We're up against a break. Can you stay or you want to go? What do you want to do?
Sure,
it's up to you. You want to hang around? We do have Dave Spadaro coming on. I don't think you want to really lock horns right?
No, I don't. Right now, I don't. You know, I'll tell you what. This has led to, and Rhea knows this. I mean, the only couple regrets. One, like I said, not giving the Eagles notice with all this.
Okay.
And like I said, I'm accountable for that.
Right.
I mean, I've gotten death threats.
Seriously?
Yeah,
death threats with my address on it. Yeah,
oh, God.
That was the thing. That
let's come back. Yeah. I'll let you go before 7:30 when Dave comes on, because then things
the
could
whole
get
world's
really
gone bonkers.
But you know what? I say this, Joe. It's old. It's old time journalism. It's getting a story.
It's a blockbuster.
It's so hard to ever find stories like this anymore. You're old school, kid. You're very much old school. 888-729-9494. WIP Sports Time 718.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.